In this clip, I should like to speak to you for a few minutes on Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. As you will know, this is a major text, a major passage in the debate over New Covenant theology. After all, it's the principal prophecy in the Old Covenant whereby God says that he will establish a new covenant. And the writer to the Hebrews takes this up in chapters 8 and 10. So whatever view we come to over new covenant theology, we must first of all have an understanding, a grasp of Jeremiah's prophecy. There are other prophecies too in Ezekiel and Isaiah and so on that have tremendous relevance for this. But Jeremiah 31 is the leading passage. Now, God, through Jeremiah, could not be more express, more clear, more definite. The time is coming, he says, the time will come when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. God clearly foretold that he would do away with the first covenant and establish a new covenant. He further expressly states that that covenant, the new covenant, will not be like the old, the first covenant. The old covenant, he's speaking, of course, in the context you can see very plainly, he's speaking of that revelation that God gave to Israel on Mount Sinai. The Mosaic covenant, the law. And God says expressly that in the new covenant that he's going to set up, doing away with the first covenant, will not be like that first covenant. He won't write his law on tables of stone, but he will write it in the hearts of those who are in that covenant. He also states that the new covenant will be different to the first covenant in that it will be effective. And he states it in the clearest and most dogmatic of terms. It will be effective. Their sins will be forgiven. I will teach them inwardly in their hearts and in their minds. I will write my law in their hearts. That is what the new covenant will be like. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, as I say, the writer to the Hebrews takes this up and explains it, expounds it, expatiates on it, applies it, uses it in his argument with his readers in his day. The first instance, the readers, to whom he was writing, the men and women to whom he was writing were believers who had been converted mostly, I should think all of them, but mostly anyway, from Judaism, and they were in danger of going back to Judaism, to the Old Covenant. They had been brought into Christ, but they were in danger of going back. If they were pagans, formerly they were in danger of going into the Old Covenant, which they never had before, but whatever it is, these believers were in danger of leaving Christ, leaving the New Covenant, and going back to the Old. Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10, in the entire context of the letter to the Hebrews. And the writer says, why ever would you go back to the Old Covenant? God himself expressly stated that he was going to do away with that covenant and establish a new covenant. And Christ has come, he says, and fulfilled that old covenant. And in his own words, Hebrews 8:13, the writer says, rendered the old covenant obsolete. Why ever would you go back, he says, to an obsolete covenant, an ineffective covenant? And how many times the writer of the Hebrews proves that. The blood of bulls and goats, he said, could never take away sins, but the blood of Christ, once offered, washed away away all his people's sins, and perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Wherever would you go back to an old, obsolete, fulfilled covenant, when God himself expressly stated through the prophet that he would make a new covenant? And it wouldn't be an external covenant, a covenant of flesh, in stone. Flesh in the sense of outward. It would be spiritual, in the heart, written on your hearts and minds. Why ever would you go back to an old, obsolete covenant that God himself said he would do away with? It will not be like, he says, the old covenant, this new one. Why would you go back to the inferior, the obsolete? Now, as I read scripture, as a new covenant man, I'm a new covenant man because I read scripture. And being a believer, I am in the new covenant. And what do I see about the new covenant and the old covenant here? I see the difference between the two covenants. The disjoint is a radical disjoint. The old covenant was flesh, outward, external, stone, ineffective. The new covenant is inward, heart, spiritual, effective, absolute. The old covenant has been abolished because Christ fulfilled it. The new is established and permanent, brought in by Christ. Therefore, when covenant theologians try to tell me this, there's only one covenant really. Right from the beginning to the end, there's only one covenant of grace. What God means in Jeremiah is that he will not make a new covenant, no. He will bring the old covenant rehashed, renewed. It will be the old covenant, really, but just a different administration. This is utterly wrong. It's not a fresh administration of an old covenant. It is a new covenant, and the word means new, radically different. I've given you the differences. There's a radical difference between ineffective and effective. Outward, inward, stone, heart, fleshly, spiritual. There's a vast difference. Infinite distance, gap between these two covenants. The house of Israel and the house of Judah. But if you read your New Testament, the Israel of God, the writer to the Hebrews, and all the other letters, Philippians, Ephesians, Romans, Galatians, they apply these terms, these new covenant terms, to believers in general. And yet the Jeremiah prophecy is all about Israel and Judah. Well, it could be nothing else, could it? He was writing in the days of the old covenant. But we read those prophecies, as the apostles did, in light of the new. This is a word not for Israel and Judah, in a physical sense now. It is a word for all believers, Gentiles and Jews. Believers are members of the new covenant. There's a radical difference. Now, covenant theologians agree with that. They say, yes, the Israel and the Judah means believers. But now comes the hitch. But they say the law stays the same. The Judah and the Israel, the Israel and the Judah, they change, but the law stays the same. And what God does in the new covenant, instead of writing his law on tables of stone, he writes his law, the moral law, the Ten Commandments, on the hearts of believers. What do I say to that? Well, true it is, the Ten Commandments were written on stone. But what the writer to the Hebrews means, and what Jeremiah means, and what Paul means in 2 Corinthians 3 and so on, they mean the whole law, the whole covenant. It's a new covenant. It's not simply the Ten Commandments. You have no right to try and limit the law, the covenant, to the Ten Commandments, the moral law as you call it. That's an imposition, a gross imposition on Scripture. It's the whole law. It's the whole covenant. And if you really think Only part of the text is changed, the Israel and Judah. But the law stays the same, then it's got to be the entire law written on the hearts of believers. So you will keep the Sabbath then, won't you? Not according to your changes of it, one day in seven, the Sunday instead of the Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. No, you will keep the Sabbath as the law says. You won't change it. God has written that law on your heart. And the punishments too. And what is more, you'll take great care to keep the rules about planting crops and trees and the kind of wearing of different yarns in your garments and eating foods and so on, dietary laws. You'll take all those on board with all their punishments. Of course you won't. You pick and choose, don't you? You gloss the text. You impose upon it. No, 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 no. Don't do it. The law in the new covenant law, the law of Christ, is written on the hearts of believers. That's not the Ten Commandments only. It's the entire scriptures. It's Christ himself. It's the revelation of God nuanced by Christ. It's the gospel. As I say, it's Christ himself. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus coming into the heart. Christ formed in us. What is the writer to the Hebrews saying? He's saying Jeremiah's day, his prophecy day, has come. God, through Christ, by his Spirit, has written Christ, the gospel, the entire scriptures, nuanced by Christ. He has written Christ in our hearts, that law within our hearts. And it's effective. It's a spiritual law. It's a new covenant. And we live in the light of this effective, permanent, established covenant. It's not an old covenant rehashed. It's not a covenant played about with and tinkered with by the systems of men. It's what it says, a new covenant written in the heart by the Spirit in Christ. And that, of course, is why I am a new covenant man. I believe Jeremiah's prophecy, interpreted, applied, expounded and used by the writer to the Hebrews, and I rejoice in it. To me, you see, the writer of the Hebrews has made new covenant theology simple, clear, and plain. I urge all who are watching this or listening to me to weigh this very carefully. Read these chapters aloud for yourself. See the context. Read the letter to the Hebrews through and see. The new covenant really is new in every respect. Look at it. It's effective, inward, spiritual, permanent, absolute. Effective above all, I repeat, effective. I urge you, become a new covenant man or woman. That is, if you are not converted, come into Christ. And if you are in Christ, let all the systems and theologies and confessions of men break before the teaching of the scriptures. A new covenant, says God, I will make. Praise God, through Christ we can say, a new covenant he has made, and is with us still, and will be with us forever.